وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to another episode of Fundamentals of Faith. In our previous episodes, we've been discussing various acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of. And we discussed in our last episode the acts of sacrifice and of vowing and also of seeking blessings. In today's episode, we're going to discuss another topic, and that is of talismans, amulets, and omens. We hope you'll stay tuned. Well, today's discussion will be about something which is common to all cultures and societies and religions in the world. The wearing of talismans and amulets and the seeking of omens. Well, first let's define these terms. Perhaps some of our viewers might not be aware of what we're talking about. A talisman or an amulet is some type of good luck charm that you wear to either attain something which is good or protect yourself from something which is evil. This is called a talisman. And is also called an amulet. An omen is a natural sign that occurs in the creation, and you read in good or bad luck into that sign. So a talisman is man-made, and an omen is something which is natural. So a person might wear something on his hand, or he'll wear a bracelet or a necklace, or he'll carry something around, thinking that this object will bring him good luck, or that it will protect him from some evil. An omen is that he'll see something, like a black cat cross his path. So he'll think that bad luck will now occur to him because of something that is beyond his control. Both of these aspects are manifestations of shirk, because they go against our complete servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say La ilaha illallah, it means that there is no object that is worthy of my worship except Allah. Therefore Allah is all powerful. Nothing happens to me except by the will of Allah. This piece of paper or this amulet or charm that I'm wearing, it cannot protect me from anything. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protects. Therefore, to allow our hearts to feel attached to these objects, or to extract good and bad omens from natural occurrences, shows that our heart is not attached to Allah. It is rather attached to other than Allah, and this is where the shirk comes into play. When the Prophet Hud alayhi salam was threatened by his people that they were going to kill him, Hud alayhi salam responded that, "I bear witness in front of Allah and in front of you that I have nothing to do with those whom you worship besides Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me from your plots." Kiduni jami'an. He challenges them. All of you gather together and plot as much as you want. ثُمَّ لَا تُنظِرُونَ. And don't give me an opportunity to escape. He is challenging them. Look at his iman in Allah. Do whatever you want. Gather together. Plot your plots. Make your plans. Hatch your plans. Don't even give me a time to leave and escape. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. I have full trust in Allah. He is my Lord and He is your Lord too, whether you like it or not. مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. There is not a single animal, not a single creature, except that Allah is in full control of it. And this is the point. This is where his iman came into play. He said, do whatever you want. You can't harm me because Allah controls you. And this is the point. His tawheed, his iman was so strong that he said, I don't care what you do. My trust is in Allah. I'm not going to get scared of you. You cannot do anything because Allah controls you. Allah is the Rabb of me and of you. You cannot escape from the rububiyyah, from the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a general principle. Allah says in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 38, قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. I ask you, those whom you call out to besides Allah, إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ, if Allah were to will some evil for me, are these idols going to be able to prevent that? No. And if Allah wants some good for me, are they going to be able to stop the good from coming to me? No. قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. Say, Allah is sufficient for me. عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. In Him I put my trust. So in this verse, Allah is saying that those whom you call out to besides Allah, any object that you are attached to, even if it's not calling out, if it's a talisman or an amulet, do you think that these talismans and amulets will protect you from the decree of Allah? They are more powerful than Allah? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or they can bring some good luck to you? Based on what? What power do they have? There are strings and threads. There are metal and wood. Of what good are these objects and talismans? So, to wear these type of objects, believing that they will bring good luck or save you from bad luck, is a type of shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This would have been the case if no verses or hadith had existed on the topic. This is the case even if there's no explicit evidences, because of the general evidences which prove that Allah is the one whom we trust, whom we turn to, that no one can change the decree of Allah. Therefore, our tawakkul and our turning should be to Allah and only to Allah. But to make the matters even more clear, there exist many authentic narrations from the Prophet ﷺ in which he explicitly prohibited talismans and amulets and omens. This is because the pre-Islamic Arabs, the Jahili Arabs, they would use such omens. They would believe in omens. And they would use talismans and amulets. They would put them on their children to protect their children from the evil eye. They would put them on their horses and their camels to protect them from bad luck. They would put them on themselves. They would also use such talismans to cement the love between a husband and a wife. A woman would go and buy one of these talismans from those that are specialized, the evil magicians that are specialized in producing them, and put them on her body, believing that her husband would be more attracted to her. Conversely, the opposite is true, is that someone might wish to break up a marriage. So he would give some object such that he would think bad luck would come between the husband and the wife. So, because this existed in pre-Islamic times, when the Prophet ﷺ came, he clearly and explicitly prohibited this from occurring. If you can give me Ibn Majah, volume 4, akhi. In this hadith in Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah, by the way, is one of the famous 6 books of hadith written by Muhammad Ibn Yazid Ibn Majah, who died in the year 273 Hijri. And Sunan Ibn Majah, it's a good time maybe to discuss what is the meaning of Sunan. We know that Bukhari and Muslim are Sahih. Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. Then we have Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan An-Nisa'i and Sunan Ibn Majah. Sunan works are more legal in nature. They primarily discuss legal aspects. That's why they're called Sunan. And the Tirmidhi is called Al-Jami'. So we have 3 Sunans. Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan An-Nisa'i and Sunan Ibn Majah of the famous 6 books. In this chapter, in this book, there's a beautiful hadith which discusses our very topic. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the most famous companions and one of the earliest converts to Islam. In the early Meccan stage he converted. He entered in upon his wife. And he came close to his wife and he felt on her necklace, on her chest, he felt some type of string. He said, "What is this string?" She replied that, "This string, I use it to prevent this sickness from coming to me." And she mentioned the name of a sickness which would appear on her face as spots coming. So she would wear this. Again, this is not a medicine. This is a supernatural thing. She would wear this to protect herself from this sickness. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, he tore it out of her neck. He pulled it such that it broke from her neck. And he said that verily the family of Ibn Mas'ud has no need to commit shirk. This is what he said. The family of Ibn Mas'ud has no need to commit shirk. And then he said that, "I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that ruqa and tama'im and tiwala is all shirk. Tama'im is any type of talisman and amulet. And tiwala is any type of charm that is used to attract the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband." So the Prophet ﷺ said that these are types of shirk. So she responded. And she said, but hold on, she's trying to justify what she's saying. She said that I would have some type of problem with me. Once I had a problem such that my eye would continually blink. It would always be blinking. I couldn't stop it from blinking. So I went to this old lady of Medina and I purchased this from her and I put it on myself. And all of a sudden, my eye became fine again. How do you explain this? So she's trying to justify what she's doing, saying that it does work. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that indeed that was a shaitan. He continued to prod your eye. He continued to press it, prod it, until when you disobeyed Allah and you obeyed him, when you obeyed shaitan, that is when he stopped prodding your eye. That is when he stopped prodding your eye. So the point is that it is possible that such things might work. But why do they work? Because shaitan was the cause of them. So when you please him, then shaitan stops doing what he was doing. Then Ibn Mas'ud said, why didn't you say what the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to say? Ya رَبَّ النَّاسِ اِذْهَبَ الْبَاسِ اِشْفِي أَنْتَ شَافِي لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكْ شِفَاءَ لَا يُغَادِرُ سَقَمًا. That the Prophet ﷺ directed us to say when one of us is sick, is that, the Lord of mankind, cure me from my sickness and cure me of all diseases and leave no traces behind of this sickness. So Ibn Mas'ud is saying, why didn't you say what the Prophet ﷺ said instead of using means which are prohibited and haram and in fact a type of shirk? We'll take a short break and we'll continue in this discussion of ours.
Anyone who chooses other than Islam as a religion, as a way, it won't be accepted from him. This Quran has to be understood by the way the companions of Rasulullah understood the Quran. We disconnect ourselves from the actions of certain Muslims who oppress people and kill people unjustly.
Continuing our discussion of wearing talismans and amulets, the very next hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah is also about this topic. And by the way, these hadith are found in Kitab al-Tib of Sunan Ibn Majah, or he said, the book of medicine, cures. And he placed these hadith in this book to show you that this is a cure which is not allowed. Many are the cures that are allowed. But this cure, talismans and amulets and charms and bracelets, this is not allowed. So the next hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ saw a person who was wearing a bracelet made out of copper. So he asked him, what is this? So the man said, this is against al-wahina, which was a disease which would make a person weak. And the word wahina has the connotation of weakness. So he's saying, this will protect me from falling into this disease of weakness. So the Prophet ﷺ said, break it. Take it away. Because it will only increase you in your weakness. It will only increase you in your weakness. Because this goes against your tawheed. To wear these type of amulets and charms and bracelets, it goes against your tawheed. In another narration of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ said in this to the same man, he said, had you died while you were wearing this bracelet, you would never have been successful. In other words, because it's shirk, and Allah has promised not to forgive shirk, he says you would not have been successful. There is another beautiful narration. If you can hand me Tafsir Ibn Kathir, akhi. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, in Surah Yusuf, verse 106, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that most of them, Jazakallah khair, most of them, they believe in Allah, but they commit shirk at the same time as this belief. And we quoted this verse before. Ibn Kathir, Imam Ibn Kathir, he narrates that this ayah also refers to those who practice the use of amulets, charms, and bracelets. Because he said that once Urwa, one of the famous students of the companions, he entered upon a person who was sick and he saw a piece of cloth on him, a good luck charm on him. So he asked him what it is, and he told him, this is something that I use as a good luck charm. So he tore it off of his body. And he recited this verse, Surah Yusuf, verse 106, that most of them, they believe in Allah, but they commit shirk along with this belief. Thus showing you that this type of act is a type of shirk. In another instance, one of the companions entered upon a sick person to visit him. And he said, I see you wearing something. This type of charm and bracelet. He said, yes, I have worn it. So he responded, how dare you wear something like this, a talisman, when the Prophet ﷺ has clearly said that whoever wears a talisman will be left to that talisman. What does this mean? It's a beautiful hadith. What the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wears a talisman will be left to that talisman, meaning Allah will not help him. Allah will not help him at all. If his heart goes out to other than Allah, if he thinks good luck will come by wearing this piece of cloth, this string, this wood, this metal, this piece of object that Allah created, if he thinks that this object can benefit him or harm him, then Allah will have nothing to do with him. Allah will remove his protection from him, and he will be left in charge of this useless piece of creation. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wears a talisman or a bracelet or a good luck charm will be left to it. In yet another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he said, whoever puts a good luck charm on his animal, I have nothing to do with him. Then Muhammad, he says this, Muhammad is free of him. And imagine if our own Prophet ﷺ, if our own Prophet says, I have nothing to do with you, what will be his situation and case? And this is the one who puts a good luck charm on his animal. On his animal. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have nothing to do with him. How about the one who puts it on himself, or his wife, or his beloved children? A'udhu billah, we are entering shirk into our own households. Allah says that this person is cursed, and the Prophet ﷺ says, I have nothing to do with you. And the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah will leave you to this created object. And yet we go out, and we purchase these things from charlatans, from fakes, frauds who make money, deceiving the people. And we buy them and we place this shirk around our own families and our own selves. Look at what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said. The wife and the family of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has no need to commit shirk. Should we not follow his example and pattern? So we come to the conclusion that every single talisman and amulet that we wear is a type of shirk. However, what if we write a verse of the Quran and then put it on ourselves? The previous discussion has been about non-Quranic talismans and amulets. And there are many that exist in many countries. They have the four-leaf clover, they have a rabbit's foot, or they have a upside-down horseshoe. So many things which are talismans that they use. Suppose though that someone wrote the Quran, a Quranic talisman. How about this case? Well, this is the case which some of the companions, they differed over. Is it allowed to wear the Quranic talisman or not? Because this is a verse of the Quran, Ayatul Kursi or something you put on yourself. So this is different. You're using the speech of Allah. It's not like a string which has been blown over or written in some gibberish or some unintelligible language. No, this is of course clear-cut shirk. What if you write or someone writes some ayat of the Quran and then places it around himself? Here the scholars have differed. But the majority of scholars and the correct opinion is that even this is not allowed. For example, if you give me Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, volume 5. If we go to this work, Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. This is a work by Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Shayba, who was one of the teachers of Bukhari and Muslim. And he entitled his work Al-Musannaf. Now we talked about, there's a book called Sahih. And there's a book called Sunan. Another type of book is called Musannaf. What a Musannaf does, is it compiles not just hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but also the statements of the companions and their students as well. So this is a very large collection of traditions, not just from the Prophet ﷺ, but also statements of the companions and their students as well. We turn to one chapter here about the chapter pertaining to amulets and charms and bracelets. And we see here that Ibrahim al-Nakhai, who is one of the main students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that They, meaning the companions, used to hate all types of talismans, whether they were from the Qur'an or not from the Qur'an. The companions would hate all types of talismans, whether they were from the Qur'an or they were not from the Qur'an. And this is narration number 23,457. And this is not even half of the book yet. So you can imagine how many other narrations are there. And this is to show you, by the way, we always go back to the sources. We're not quoting from any person. We're quoting from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and we take you directly back to the books to see for yourselves. Open up the book. Buy it yourself. Look it up. This is what Allah and His Messenger said. This is what the companions said. So here we find that the companions, they would not like the Qur'an. They would not like Qur'anic talismans or non-Qur'anic talismans. Why is this? This is because, number one, there is no evidence that the Prophet ﷺ ever did anything like this. Wrote the Qur'an out and put it on him, or he put it on his family members. And had there been any good in it, he would have done it. Number two, when someone sees you wearing this type of talisman, he doesn't know whether it's Qur'anic or not. So when someone sees you wearing this type of string and it has something small written on it, he doesn't know whether it's a Qur'anic talisman, which there is some difference of opinion over, or whether there's a non-Qur'anic talisman, which is clearly shirk. So then when he sees it, he might think that it is a non-Qur'anic talisman. Then he will say, well, I saw so-and-so wearing it, so it must be allowed. I saw Sheikh so-and-so or Imam so-and-so, therefore it must be allowed. So in order to avoid this confusion, it's better to leave it. And the third reason why this is prohibited is that any person who wears it, there is no doubt that he will expose it to conditions which are not appropriate. When he enters the restroom and he uses the restroom, he's going to be wearing the Qur'an, a'udhu billah. Or when he or she is intimate with his or her spouse, and this will be upon him. Again, it is not appropriate. Or if you put it on a child, then the child, as you know, it is possible that some impurities of urine or stool might come upon it. And this is the Qur'an. So it is not appropriate that we put the Qur'an, which is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, around our bodies like decoration or like good luck charms. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would actually recite the Qur'an and blow on his hands and put it over his body. This is how you do it. You don't just write it and use it as a good luck charm. No. You recite it. You blow and you put it over yourself. And the same applies to omens as well. Omens, natural occurrences. If you can give me, akhi, volume 10 of Sunan Abi Dawood, there's a beautiful hadith which talks about omens as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that all types of omens are shirk. And this is in Sunan Abi Dawood, hadith number 3906. He said, At-tiyaratu shirk, at-tiyaratu shirk, at-tiyaratu shirk. Three times. He said this three times, that all types of omens are shirk. This is because the Arabs of old, when they would see a certain bird, they would say bad luck. They would see another bird, they would say good luck. Same thing in our times. You see a black cat, bad luck. Okay? You see something else, a shooting star, good luck. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, all types of omens are shirk. And we have so many customs and practices. A black cat, or breaking glass, or spilling salt, or walking under a ladder, or opening an umbrella inside the house, or placing a slaughtered animal's blood, you put it on your hands and you put it on the wall for good luck. All of these practices and acts go against our profession, our testimony of La ilaha illallah. Why? Because our heart becomes attached to these things instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We conclude by stating that talismans and amulets and omens, all of them are manifestations of shirk. Because one's heart, instead of being attached to Allah, the real Rabb, they become attached to these created objects, these strings, these cloths, these pieces of metal or wood. And they start believing that good or evil will come from them. Therefore, to wear them is prohibited, and Allah curses the people who wear them, and the Prophet ﷺ has freed himself from those who do these acts. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfects our tawheed and saves us from this type of evil, and He makes us amongst those who say La ilaha illallah, who understand what it means and who put it into practice as real Muslims upon tawheed. We hope to see you next time. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.